tonight, if you'll get your Bibles, we're going to look at one passage of Scripture where it's going to be our text. I've got some other ones that I'm going to look at. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, it's a verse that's well known, and it has the word if in it. It even starts with if. All right? You think about that. Have you ever stopped long enough and maybe taken inventory of the divine ifs that have permeated and maybe have even prevailed in your life? And not something that you just casually did, not just something on the surface, but look at it real deep. You know, you think about that. You look at the good self, the not so good self, maybe the old self, and then you have the new self, and then the self that you desire to be, and then in reality, the self that you are. You know, sometimes we need to just sit with ourselves, don't we? In the alone moments, whether it be painful or shameful, just think about the divine ifs in your life. I like to deer hunt, so I can sit in my deer blind, and I can think about a lot of different things while I'm waiting for that trophy buck to come out. And so you get a lot of time to think about it when you're alone. And so we look at those divine ifs, those places that you recognize. You know, maybe there are times that God had to circumvent what was going to happen, or maybe what should have happened. How many times have you gone on a trip and maybe you were running behind and you were upset because you didn't leave exactly when you wanted, and you got down the road and you saw a big accident and you thought, well, if I'd have left on time, I might have been in that. Maybe God took that potential of destruction and embarrassment and shame, and He took you out of that moment so that you don't have to be worried about that. When you think about the ifs, we borrow that line from Newton's hymn, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come." And if it had not been for the Lord being on our side, where would we be? And so the gospel, according to if, is the difference. If the Lord wasn't in my life, where would I be? You know, when I felt myself being pushed to a place that was not going to be pretty, but then walked away or felt something pulling me back from that, an emotional meltdown or maybe an explosion that I could have regretted for the rest of my life. There's times when I'm glad the Lord got a hold of my tongue and didn't let me speak, because it would not have probably been good. I would have embarrassed myself. You think about if. What a small two-letter word. And it seems when we hear it or see this small two-letter word, it has a condition attached to it. How many times have you said, or maybe you've heard someone said, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. If I'd only made another choice, I would not be in this condition if I hadn't had that extra piece of pie, right? Or if I could only win the lottery, and I don't play the lottery, I don't encourage you to either. But if I could only win the lottery, my life would change. And I think that's really funny, because their life changes, but it's not for the better like they think. Or how about every kid as they've grown up, and if I'd only listened better to my parents. So we have that word if. You know, there's some big ifs, and we're going to get to the text here in just a moment, but if I haven't counted correctly, there's 1,522 of them in the Bible. 1 John 1:9 says this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk also in the Spirit. You know, you think about the woman in had an issue of blood for 12 years, said this in Matthew chapter 9, in verse 21, the latter part of it said, if I might but touch His garment, I shall be whole. That was a big if in her life, wasn't it? In John chapter 12 and verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And then Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And those are some big ifs. And so much depends on each one of those. If you think about that, how they've affected even our own lives. But I think the biggest if in the entire Bible is one that we see in our text here this evening in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If you have your Bible open there, just look at it. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." God says, basically, if you will, then this is what I'm going to do. Revival will come when people humble themselves and pray. Forgiveness comes when people humble themselves and pray. And healing comes when people humble themselves and pray. And speaking to His chosen, God said, "If my people, which are called by my name." And God's people are called by His name. And if you were in England and you were asked to serve as a representative of Britain's government, you must be careful how you live, because His Majesty the King's reputation is involved in that. And you think about that, we should live our life because God's reputation is on the line. Our reputation is on the line. Our serving Him. But you think about the Majesty the King, and even, you know, we were in England several years ago, about 3 years ago. Our daughter did a study abroad. Our youngest daughter did a study abroad, and we got to go over and see her. I got to preach at a missions retreat and got to learn a lot of different things. And she would come back and tell us different things and that she learned while she was over there. You know, it's an insult to the crown to place a postage stamp bearing the likeness of the king and an inverted position on the letter. It had to be a certain way. And you must live above reproach because you represent His Majesty, the King. And here in our text, throughout the Bible, God's reputation is involved. David even said in Psalms 23:3, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." And that refers to God's reputation. And this text is addressed to God's people, not to the sinners. And the tragedy is sometimes, unfortunately, in our world, we can't tell each other apart. Christians want to live just like the world. We want to be just like them because they look like they're having more fun. Folks, they're not. They're miserable. I don't want to be miserable. Do you? God's representatives are a chosen people, called to be a holy people, but Christ will not be glorified unless His people glorify Him by a life lived for Him. You think about Israel. Israel forgot God and became proud and ungodlike. And, well, that went well for them, didn't it? No, it didn't. They forgot whose they were. So God said, "If my people, which are called by my name," and yes, the gospel, according to "if," we as God's people focus too much on the "if" instead of the challenge to live according to God's holy word. I've heard these before and throughout dealing with people and ministering to people. "If only I could find my soulmate to marry." I think every kid that's in their teenage years, they just want to grow up and get married. And, you know, it's not just getting married, it's marrying the right one. Or if only my spouse felt like, and whatever. If only I could find that friend who really understands me and accepts me for who I am. If only I could pursue the career that I really want. Or if only my church were more like, you know, and then rattle off such and such. If only I weren't so whatever. If only I lived in this part of town instead of that part of town. If only my family would treat me nice. That's what I've said all my life, but... Yes, and y'all know exactly how I feel for y'all. You know, if only y'all didn't have my brother. But, no, I like my brother when he's here and I'm in Texas. I'm kidding. If only this, or you know, I've heard this a lot. If this hadn't happened, then I would have been in a better place. You know, and it's always easier to say, if only. And of course, it can be very egotistical. It really is often a statement of vanity. And a lot of times, it's nothing but excuses, is it? And God's Word teaches us that we are responsible for what we do and don't do, not just what we say we will do or won't do. If you say, if only, then be prepared to do what you say, because God is going to hold you to it. In our text, if God's people would do three things, God would respond in three different ways. The Lord's people need to become humble, and that is confess. God's people need to pray, which leads to what? Repentance. God's people need to turn, which means come back to Him. And if they did, God would do three things in return. He would hear them. He would forgive them. And then what does it say there? He will heal them, right? And the sad reality is the fact that there is nothing in the universe that holds us back. Nothing that enslaves us. Nothing that keeps us from grasping the new things God is offering, more than sentences that begin with the little word if. If is the tip of the sword. What comes next is what cuts us to the heart. You know, if I could find a better job, right? I would be so much better. If I could find a good place to live. If the surgery had gotten all of the cancer. If I could figure out how to talk to my children. Or if my children would just talk to me. And if I had someone, anyone, who wanted to be with me. And we could go on and on and on. And we are challenged to be God's peculiar people. Peculiar people have obligations to fulfill. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You know, if we lose our saltiness, what, we lose our worthiness, don't we? You are the light of the world. We're to let our light shine so that God may be glorified by your light. And if your light has gone out, how great is our darkness. And God's representatives are people called by His name. And some of our problem in our great nation, you know, even, you know, just a few years back during COVID, you know, you think about that, it was a tough time, but there were people that were still prosperous. You know, I think about, you go back even further than that, the 9/11, you think, well, man, people are going to start coming back to church. And that worked for, what, a couple of weeks, and then people were just like, God who? So many times things happen, you think, well, this is going to happen, this is going to get us into a revival, but we get our mind clouded by who Almighty God is. The Lord said, if we humble ourselves, humility is the turning of the whole heart, the whole soul to God. And there is not one spot on earth that is ever so remote from which the heart cannot turn to God. Whether they be poor, whether they be crushed, whether they be broken, a repentant heart can go directly to God in prayer. Isn't that nice? No matter where you're at. You don't even have to be home. I'm reminded of a story that took place in a great palace in Copenhagen, Denmark. A scrub woman was washing and scrubbing the floor before a beautiful statue of Christ, and you may or may not like those statues. I'm not a fan of them. We don't know what really Christ looks like. But for the sake of this story, there was a statue there, and a visitor was standing there, said, I don't see much beauty in that statue. I'm not as impressed with it as I expected to be. And the lady scrubbing the floor looked up at him and said, get down on your knees and look at it. You know, how long has it been since you beheld Christ from our knees? We go back to that. Again, we go back to the text. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And then he goes on, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. The oldest prayer in the Bible, in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. God's face meant approval to the people of old. And it's worth everything to have God's smiling down on us, doesn't it? It's worth being ostracized and persecuted. You're like, well, when you're going through it, it's not so much great. But when you get through it, you're like, you come back on the other side of it and say, you know what? God had a plan. God had a purpose, and I'm okay with it. The people of Israel believed God's blessings upon them influenced their lives and the destiny of their nation. The people believed what happened to them was dependent upon the will of God. And the word blessing appears almost 400 times in the Bible. 87 times, God is the one who blesses people. And the concept of blessing and curse played a major fact on the faith of Israel. In other words, God's blessing upon us is directly connected to the gospel according to if. And we have to be honest and ask ourselves today, do we really want God's blessing? We say we do. And as I said this morning, we say we want revival, but what are we doing to see that come to fruition? What are we doing? Are we on our knees? Are we asking God? Are we seeking Him? Are we turning from our wicked ways? And I pastored up in Colorado for about 4 years. And I called it the mission field because I'm from Texas. And they kept looking at me like, why are you here? And you're not from around here. And I said, well, I'm coming and I'm pastoring a church. It was a good witnessing tool. But, you know, people are hard. And, you know, the church when we were there had 17 people when I started. And they were all older than us and quite a bit older than us. We were the youngest ones there. And I was 32, I think, when I went there. And I was like, oh, my word, I knew exactly what. I knew that's where the Lord wanted me, but I tell you what, I was scared to death. And I didn't know this, but I preached a message on God pruning. And I had some people come up to me and says, you know, that's exactly what we needed to hear. I didn't know anything, and you know, I preached the message, and it wasn't just a few months later after that, God did some pruning. And I'm like, oh my goodness. But you know what happened? Not only did God prune, but God blessed. And what a blessing that was. And that church never missed a beat. The offerings actually got better. And the people looked at me and I'm like, this is not my church. This is God's church. And we have to look at this that, you know, First Baptist Church, Amboy, did I say it right? First Baptist Church, this is God's church. And God will continue to see this. And we don't need to be worried about, well, what if this wouldn't have happened? Or what if this didn't happen? We need to look at is what does God say? That we humble ourselves, that we pray. And God has promised blessings. He has promised protection. He has promised favor. He has promised mercy. He has promised peace. And He's promised many other things. God wants churches to grow. God wants churches to continue, especially those that preach the gospel. And we do not have to live without hope or in a state of frustration at the situation that we may be living. We must get rid of the ifs if we're holding on into our lives that God's favor may find us and rest upon us. And there is something else that we must do. We must turn from our pride. You know what? Pride has ruined a lot of people. Pride has ruined a lot of churches. Pride has ruined a lot of pastors. Pride has ruined a lot of race, hasn't it? What about positions? Culture. Pride has ruined a lot of culture in today's times. I don't believe God loves pride. I think God hates pride just a little bit. Pride of self-sufficiency, maybe pride of false values. Remember, those that followed Christ for the loaves and fishes eventually went back and walked with Him no more. Isn't that sad? They saw Him do all of these things. As I said this morning, you know, if it was the preacher, then the people that heard Jesus should have been saved, every one of them, but that's not the case. Jesus didn't care to build up a big following from that group. What is our work to do? Our work is to win souls and not go back with the crowd. We must go on with Christ. We must glorify Christ and not ourselves. In order to do this, we must wrestle with the ifs that are holding us back and keeping us in our comfort zones. And if we can never get to the point, if we can ever get to the point where we have humbled ourselves and prayed, then guess what the Lord said to what He's going to do? When you have sought my face, when you have met my conditions, not our conditions, because that's what we want to do. We want to play games with God, don't we? But His conditions. He goes, and only then will I hear and forgive your sins and will heal your lands. Let me make sure that we fully understand this point. God is not necessarily talking about our nation or our country. You know, your land may be your own soul this evening. God will forgive you if you just come before Him. Your land may be your home. God will heal the breach between you and loved ones if you will humble yourselves. Your land may be your church. We need to meet God's conditions. And it won't take God very long to act when we are in earnest. The word if is interesting. It is undoubtedly one of the most important words in the Bible because it speaks directly to our responsibility to God. Most promises in the Bible have conditions, and the word if speaks to those conditions. Our response to God's commands affects our relationship with Him and determines our receiving from Him. Jesus used the word if all the time. Almost half of the 574 occurrences in the New Testament are in the four Gospels. And Jesus always puts the if on man's side and never on God's side. If highlights the responsibility that we have to respond correctly to God's invitations. And I want to switch gears here and tell you that if is not always a bad situation. I'm going to leave you on a positive note tonight, okay? Because if has some strengths as well. And often God has to get us into a iffy situation, if you will, so that we learn to pray. Life is full of if, isn't it? Life is centered on if. Think about this. Life is surrounded by if. Matter of fact, you can't even spell life without if. If is an intricate and indispensable part of life. You cannot live life without if. Yet if gives life power. If does not necessarily mean that we doubt. It means that certain conditions come into consideration for the situation to become a reality. Now I'm going to prove this point through Scripture. I think that's the best way. The man with an incurable disease, leprosy, came to the end of his rope and to his only hope. And any crowd around Jesus that day quickly moved out of the way of the man that Luke says was full of leprosy there in Luke chapter 5 in verse 12. This man has no minor case. He has lived with the disease until it is overtaken his body. And when Jesus arrives, the leper does the only thing that he can do. And what does he shout? Do y'all know? He shouts unclean. And he does that to do what? To alert the crowd pressing in on Jesus to get out of his way. And falling at the feet of Jesus says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There's no presumption here. There's no questioning. The leper knows that Jesus can heal him. If it's not a matter of doubting whether Jesus can, but is Jesus willing? And Jesus responds to the gospel according to if. Because filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He was basically saying, I am willing. And then what does he say? Be thou clean. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? If my people. Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? If my people. Got any problems you can't see your way through? If my people. Got any addictions that have you bound? If my people. Got any burdens that are weighing you down? if my people. Got any hang-ups that have you hung up? If my people. Got any concerns that you're tired of wrestling with? If my people. God specializes in things thought impossible, and He can do just what no other can do. And we need to deal with the ifs that are hindering our spiritual growth. We need to deal with the ifs that are keeping God at a distance. I go back to our text. If my people, they're in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is, folks, the gospel according to if. I'm going to close in prayer, if that's all right with y'all. And then if you have any other announcements, you can say those. Let's pray.